In our lives, values create boundaries, and we need values in order to create some of those boundaries. So up in Gainesville, in Hall County, there's a bridge out over Highway 53, and I just want you to know I hate that bridge, okay? It's steel, and it's one of those old green steel bridges, and it has holes in it. You know, it's one of those that it's just made with this steel that kind of connects like this, and so it's not solid, so when you get on it, you hear this, you know, and you feel your car kind of vibrating, and you just think, you know, here I am driving across the Coosawattee River, and I'm really up here, and this river's really deep, and I don't really care much for the whole situation. But there's one thing that I'm glad the bridge does have. That's guardrails. Because I know that those guardrails are important. Those guardrails are there, you know, they're there. They restrict me just a little bit. They restrict me in the fact that I can't just decide to take a right or a left-hand turn and drive off into the Coosawattee River, okay? That's a little restrictive, don't you think? You see, some people look at guardrails and values like that as they're a little restrictive. You know, honestly, they're there for my protection in case something crazy happens on that bridge so that I don't go in the river. I'm kind of glad they're there. Another one of those bridges is down at going over to the island at Edisto. There's this bridge, and it's a mile long. It's a full mile. It's a concrete bridge. Goes across all that water and that, you know, that area of black water where the tide comes up and it gets in and then it goes down. And so when you go across this, there are these big concrete guardrails. And I'm kind of glad they're there because, quite frankly, when you get to the peak of the bridge, well, it's a long way down. I don't want to drive off the edge of that bridge just for some strange reason. You know, maybe they put guardrails up like that in life because once upon a time, somebody got the bright idea, wonder what would happen if I drove off the side. So now they're there for our protection. But values do that in our lives. When we build values into our lives, we create these boundaries, we create these margins, and they're there for our protection. They protect our lives, they protect our relationships. So these values are very important that we build into our lives. They guide us. They guide the decisions that we make in our relationships and in our lives. They give us a sense of direction. But even in our relationships, and especially in a marriage relationship, they can draw some boundaries around us. They can give us some margin. Now, I like margins on a page. Do you ever thought about margins on a page? How would you like to be reading a book and the page didn't have any margins and they just decided to type the whole sentence right off the page? You know, that would be a frustrating thing, wouldn't it? But the deal is, margin is created in our lives by values because it pushes us back from the edge. And it keeps us from going too far. And in some of the cases in our lives, we need to be protected from going too far. When I'm driving down Interstate 85 and I'm in downtown Atlanta and let's say I'm headed south, you know what? When you're driving in that HOV lane, and you're going fast, and the people on the other side, they're going faster than you, and they're going north. I like knowing that there's this thick concrete block wall because I don't want them particularly coming over into my lane. I really don't. I like to know that's there. And some of us would say, that's a little restrictive, don't you think? Don't you? No, I don't think. I think it's a good thing. Because God built those values into our lives to apply them to create some margin, to create some protection in our lives. And our lives need to be built on some values, and those values are important. So on your outline, I think it says values become margins. And in our one little note, we need to make sure those are a little permeable because we don't want to build such a margin or such a protection around our lives that those people that we're in relationship with can't get through them. Sometimes in our lives, you know what happens in a relationship that we get hurt often enough and we'll build a big enough guardrail, we'll build a big enough wall, we'll create enough margin that we really don't want to risk being in a relationship. We do that in marriage. Have you ever thought? And you wonder why there's sometimes the marriage relationship doesn't always get where God wants it to get to? It's because due to something, we've built an impermeable barrier. And we need to allow that down. But those barriers and those values are so important in our marriage relationship, and I know for some of you guys, in your dating relationships. But here's the deal in a marriage relationship. There are some people that they should not be able to get inside of your boundary. That should be protected from other individuals who could come inside of that marriage relationship. They're not supposed to be there. That protection becomes between you and your spouse, that you're the only ones who can get in there in the intimacy of that relationship, and other people shouldn't be allowed. Understand, not even your children should be allowed inside the context of that marriage relationship. They were never intended to be there. It was between a man and a woman. And the whole purpose, according to the Bible, if I read it correctly, is that you raise a child up so that they can go out and find that own relationship for themselves. So you've got to protect this, and your values is what protects that. So we're going to look in 1 Peter chapter 3, the first few verses, verses 1 through 4, and then verse 7. So the quality of the values that you build into your life, that you build into those relationships, are going to determine the quality of those relationships and the quality of that marriage relationship. And you know what? If you're not married, there are truths about this that apply to you. So here's this, high schoolers and teenagers. If you are even considering dating someone and their value system doesn't match up to yours in terms of a Christian faith, you need to put up the danger sign. You need to put up a real barrier, because I'm not convinced that you want people who don't have the godly values that maybe you're bringing into the relationship, them coming into your life. Because I'm going to tell you, they're going to take you somewhere. They're going to gain an influence that maybe you will look back and regret that you ever got there. So it's dangerous, even in a dating relationship, with people whose values are different from yours. Because you know what? I've never married anybody that didn't date. Have you ever thought of it? Really? I mean, I've never married anyone that didn't date. So those dating relationships are important. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. I always like to read this because the husbands, this is a husband, if you've looked ahead, you know, they're kind of getting ready. They're getting ready. They've got the elbow cocked, right? So go ahead, cock the elbow. Remember, it's Mother's Day, so don't nudge too hard. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands. Pause. So that if any of them do not believe the word, that they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. And when they see the purity and reverence of your lives, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of gentle and quiet spirit, which is a great worth in God's sight. So husbands always like to give that. Did you hear that? Wives, be submissive to your husbands. You know, they give them a few things about submission. Submission is not in any way inferiority. Okay, it is not inferior. They are not inferior people. Submission is something, however, that in God's economy, He creates and establishes authority in our lives. And funny, we've had that conversation somewhere, but he establishes an umbrella of authority, and He wants us to stay under that umbrella of authority as long as that authority is not doing something illegal or immoral or against the principles of His Word. So He's saying there is a protection in this. And the protection in that and staying in that is in the protection of that relationship. And that's what God is more concerned about, not this hierarchy. He's concerned about a relationship. So He's saying, you know, wives, stay submissive. And here's, isn't it interesting that He says, wives, stay submissive, so that the husband who is not a believer in Christ can be won over to Christ? As opposed to the husband who's the authority showing the wife so that he can win her over. So I hope you didn't nudge too hard. Because He's saying that in the submission of your life to the authority and staying in that, you are setting an example and leading him and showing him by the actions of your life, you are leading him to Christ. Wait a minute. The wife is leading him to Christ. So it is totally not about in hierarchy. It's just, it's an authority picture. So, but in the thing about God's authority, let's just look at authority and take a little side trip here. You can have a king, and that king has authority over a kingdom. And that king can have a bad heart. And then I say a bad heart, that king can think more highly of himself, his needs, his goals, and be very, very selfish. And so all the decisions that king makes are what's best for that king. But you can also have a king in their authority. They can have a good heart. And the decisions that that king makes is always for the best interest of the people in his kingdom. Now, I'm just thinking, the good king represents God. And if the husband is supposed to be in a relationship with God, that surely the husband's heart reflects God's heart. So how difficult is it for a wife to submit to a husband with a good heart who always has the best interest of his spouse in mind? And that's what it looks like to have a good heart. And so, you know, when we're talking about this, again, I hope, man, you didn't nudge too hard. That's the authority that God expects if you want to be the authority over your home. And then he goes on to say to wives, you know, ladies, build into your lives character and spend more time and focus building into your life character than beauty. Because as time passes, beauty tends to fade and character grows stronger. And God is far more interested in the character. He sees you as beautiful anyway. So he's interested in our character. But then we're going to drop on down to verse 7. So wives, go ahead, get the elbow ready. We good? Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you in the gracious gift of life so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Now let's stop up, and he says, be considerate. And he talked about that and to have respect. Considerate in respect or considerate in honor. He is saying, husbands, you need to think of the needs of your wife. You need to be considerate of what's going on in her life. You need to be aware of her needs and make those a priority in your life. So you need to be conscious of her and make sure that you meet her needs. Make sure that she is the priority of your life. So be considerate and give her respect. And I want you to understand, you know, when I saw that, you says the weaker partner. You know, the deal is you know, we had, I had a lady come up to me and they said, my husband is leaving and I'm not sure that I can get this rock up there when it's the appropriate time. So could I get some help? And I'm thinking, well, sure, you know, but after I saw it, I thought, you know, purely in terms of being able to carry a physical weight, the partner was stronger. But now, in most cases, in terms of determination and drive and the daily schedule and pushing through and getting the things done that need to be done, if they have a job, if they have a home to take care of, if they have a children to take care of, I'm pretty well convinced that the stronger partner in that case is probably the wife. It's pretty much true in my home, and it's probably pretty much true in most of yours, that there are so many things that get done. And what God's word is saying is, hey guys, it's time to sit up and pay attention because your wife has some needs and there are some things that you can do. Well, you know, how hard is it to unload the dishwasher? How hard is it to help with laundry? How hard is it to clean? How hard is it to take care of some of the things that lighten the load just a little bit that she is carrying? Because the wives are probably carrying a pretty heavy load in the home. So guys, it's time to step up. That's basically what he's saying in this. And then he goes on and he talks a little bit farther. He says, because she is an heir, as an heir with you in the gracious gift of life, the same grace that you experience, she experiences. We are all equal in the grace of God and in the gift of God's grace. And we need to know that. We share that. And he goes on, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Now understand, that's it's an interesting thing, and I had to spend a little time with that. And as in the prayer and in the study just a little bit, the deal is the marriage relationship is inside of your relationship with God. And it's important as individuals to have an individual relationship with God, both the husband and the wife, that they have a relationship with God, because in that, in the context of that relationship with God, the marriage relationship is enhanced. It becomes better. The relationship with God is the foundation of the marriage relationship. It's what makes it stronger. And so when the husband is doing these things and the wife is doing these things, what happens is their relationship with God is building up and making their marriage relationship better. Now understand, if we're trying to meet certain needs in our lives of security and significance outside of a relationship with God, and we think that those are going to be met inside of a marriage relationship, you are going to be frustrated. Because the primary needs of our significance and our security are to be met inside of a relationship with God that He meets deep down in our lives. The marriage relationship is something that He gives as a gift to us to further meet those needs through another individual. But they were never meant to be the primary way that we meet those needs. And if those are the primary way that we meet those needs, which I am fairly confident that for a lot of people it is, and explains why people are frustrated in their marriages and they go from marriage to marriage looking for someone to meet that need that the last person couldn't meet, and the only individual that's going to meet that is a relationship with God. And when we have that, then our relationship with a spouse and in our families are going to be strengthened and they're going to be better, and God is going to put a blessing on top of that. But in this, he's saying your relationship with God is first and primary, and you've got to have that right. And if that is not right, you are going to struggle in a marriage relationship. Just bottom line. And that's true even for those who are not married. That's true for those folks who are dating in college or high school. That if you're trying to find significance and security and you're dating a person, but you've not found it in a relationship with Christ, or that individual that you're interested in going out with has not found it in a relationship with Christ, I guarantee you that it feels good for a little while and the relationship is nice for a little while, and it brings this sense of euphoria. But in the end, it is going to leave you frustrated because it was never intended or designed to meet that need in your life. Only a relationship with God was designed to meet that. The dating relationship just becomes icing on the cake. It becomes the bonus. So that is so important. On your outline, I want to talk to you real quickly. Somebody said, what are you going to preach about? I said, well, I'm going to preach about the worst value ever. And they were a little confused. The worst value ever. Well, that's great. So the worst value ever. That's what we're going to talk about for just a little bit. And what is the worst value ever? The worst value ever is your personal happiness. That's the worst value ever. That if your highest and greatest value is your personal happiness, it is the worst value to live your life based upon. It will narrow the margins. It will lower the boundaries. It is dangerous. And people say, well, why would my personal happiness be the worst value ever? Does God not want me to be happy? You know, I spent the last 24 hours looking. No, he doesn't. He doesn't. You know, a lot of times in translations it says, you know, happy is the person who is this, when the other translation for that is blessed. personal happiness in our lives, I'm not sure is very high on God's chart. He's not interested. So you just say, well, you know, really? I say, yes. I'll tell you what, go look in Galatians or Colossians and then the fruit of the Spirit, see if anywhere God listed happy. Did God list happy in the fruit of the Spirit? No, he didn't list happy. Well, you would ask me, well, Jeff, why would you say that my personal happiness is the worst value ever? I'm glad you ask. I've been dying to tell you all morning. Your personal happiness is the worst value ever because it's selfish, self-centered, self-motivating, and every decision that's made is based on what will gain my personal happiness and what is in my best interest and what is it that I feel like that I need to be happy. That's why it's the worst value ever. Now just think about living in a relationship that the highest value is I'm looking from this person everything that I can get that will make me happy, that will lead to my personal satisfaction, that will lead to my selfish, self-interest, self-promoting gain. That's what I'm looking for in this relationship. My wife would have left a long time ago. Really? And if you were married to someone like that, you would have left a long time ago. And if some of you guys have found somebody, and you probably have, you've probably been in at least if you've been able to date, and if you haven't, then that's probably good. I recommend that you wait for the next 7 or 8 years. But if you have been in that relationship that their goal from you was their personal happiness, you probably didn't enjoy that relationship and regretted ever being in it. And you're glad you're finished with it. It is the worst value ever because it is just self-seeking, and I will do anything. And that was kind of the story of Bruce, if you see it. I will do anything to be happy because being happy is my personal motivation in life. That is the primary drive and desire that I am trying to meet, is to be happy. And the deal with happiness is that the things that promise to make us happy, it's kind of like that when in the Peter was saying, you know, don't worry about braiding up your hair and wearing jewelry and all of these things. But it's kind of like saying if we pursue happiness, it wraps itself in this nice package and it really looks good on the inside and you open up the package and there's nothing there. Isn't that exciting? And then you're frustrated. Here's the deal. If you are married or you're in a dating relationship or any type of relationship and you expect that person to make you happy and your happiness is dependent on that person, when they don't live up to that role, it leaves you angry and frustrated, doesn't it? It makes me mad. And then all of a sudden there's an argument and a fight. And if this isn't working out, well, I'll just go find my happiness in another relationship somewhere else. Happiness is just the worst value ever. Happiness is that thing that the closer you get to it and the closer you get to it and you think you're just about to grab it, and all of a sudden, just before you think you've got it, it just slips away and it eludes you. And then once again, you're left frustrated and angry, and you've got to start looking for something else to make you happy. Happiness is just the worst value that we can live our lives by. And the deal with it is that in the end, happiness will cost you numerous relationships. It'll cost you relationships. I would venture to say that if we could sit down with some people who have experienced divorce, then they would talk about someone trying to meet their needs and happiness as their goal, and they were frustrated and angry because those were never met. And so they had to move on to something else. Happiness is the worst relationship ever. But the good news is, I'm going to give you a couple of key values that are very important. And these values are values that you can apply to your relationship, in your marriage relationship, to your relationship with children, to your dating relationships, to any relationship that you want to apply them to in your life. And they will work. The first and most important value, the key value, is to love God. I told you we would always get back to this. I told you that if we ever got this right, I would stop saying it. To love God. Now just think, in the context of a husband-wife relationship, imagine this. When he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." And let's look at it for just a minute. Briefly, loving God is reorienting our lives toward God. So it's taking our heart, the very essence of who we are, our very nature, our soul, our will, the ability to choose, the freedom to choose. It's taking our mind, our thought processes, our thinking, and then it's taking our lives that we actually physically live and reorienting all of that toward God, that He becomes our highest priority, our chief priority. That we reorient our lives, our attitudes, and everything, we adjust our lives to God. And God becomes the orientation. So God becomes the highest value. Well, if our values guide our decisions and become the boundaries and the guardrails and the margins, what we've just said is that God is creating those boundaries in your life because you love Him. And those margins are created by loving God. Because He's changing that human nature that's inside of us, and He's changing that will that each of us exercises, and He's working inside of our minds and our thought processes, and it all comes out in our actions, and God is working from the inside out. And what happens is our relationship with God grows deeper and deeper. Every other relationship in our life is benefited because of our relationship with God. The other relationships win because our highest value and priority is loving God, period. And God reorients our life and all of our relationships. And so those times that we felt frustrated because there's a need that's not been met, now those we turn to God to meet those primary needs of our lives. In a marriage relationship, we've seen it, that for whatever reason, the wife doesn't believe, feel like, that the needs of her life are being met, the significance and the security and the acceptance. And what happens? She can become critical. She can become controlling. But then what happens, the man feels like that his needs for acceptance and security and significance are not being met. So what does he do? He becomes sarcastic and insulting. And men typically do this. Men typically retreat into their little corner, don't we? And we go find something to occupy our time, and we avoid the relationship at that point. Well, what's happening? It's just getting worse. But what if those primary needs are met because we love God and we understand God's love for us, and He meets those needs in our lives? In that relationship with another individual, we're free to give. We're free to meet their needs because our needs are met. Our love is met through God's love for us. So love God is the first and key value, the deepest value. Then the second one is really quite simple. Some of you have jumped ahead. Just love your spouse. Love your spouse. Listen, Jesus could have easily said that, but in verse 31 He says the second is this: love your neighbor. And I've prayed, love your spouse as yourself. Just imagine applying that to a marriage relationship. As those are the two highest values in a marriage relationship, that our lives have been reoriented toward God, we love God, and the fruit of our loving God is that we have the freedom to love our spouse. We have the freedom to love our children. You have the freedom to love your parents, the freedom to love your friends, because God's love overflows. And your love is based on God's love. Those are the two highest values that we can live out of. The marriage relationship is the most intimate that God has designed for us to have on this planet, but it's to be in the protection of our relationship with Him, that we can love each other inside of His love for us and our love for God. And those two values are so critical important. And if we could get those two values right, we would discover inside of the marriage relationship the relationship that God designed for us to have with another individual. And it's why, so often in his word, he compares the marriage relationship to Christ's relationship with the church. And he calls the church his bride. That's the relationship that we're designed, but we have got to make those two values our highest values. To love God, it's the highest value of our life. And if the highest value is to seek happiness, I can guarantee it's just going to leave you frustrated. But if it's to love God, he's going to meet the needs. And then the next value is to love your spouse, to love your children, to love the people around you. And in that order, we need to be careful that we live our lives based on these values so that these values will build into our lives the margin and the protection that God wants to grant us in the context of a marriage relationship. Because there are plenty of enemies who want to destroy that relationship. And we have seen it too often in the lives of friends or family, neighbors. And if we get the values right, then our Heavenly Father creates the protection around that relationship. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time we've spent together. We pray that you would take it and use it. And Father, that you'd speak to each individual in where their needs are. Help us to value loving you. And then as we are married, to value loving that individual that you have placed into our lives. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. We invite you today, if you have never received Christ, to welcome him into your life, to repent and to believe and to confess him and to make loving God the highest value of your life. And you're going to find that in a relationship with anyone, from your spouse to your family, your children, that it is going to change the dynamics of that relationship. We invite you to join with us in this ministry at Oak Hill to participate in how we are trying to invest our lives in God's kingdom in this community. And as always, we invite you to pray that there are friends of yours that you know that is their struggle. There's someone in your life that you need to lift up and continue to lift up until that moment God can turn their life. We invite you to use this time and allow the Holy Spirit freedom in your life. Let's stand and sing together.
We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of his mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. the feet of Jesus, the greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. And we cry,
let's pray. Father, we do thank You for this time to worship and to be together. And we just pray that as we spend time with spouses or moms or whomever, that today we honor them and every day. Father, that we would learn to put You first in our lives and our love for You, to love God. And Father, to follow that in our marriages, to love our spouse and love them in such a way that because of our love, they would come to a clearer understanding of Your love. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. We hope that you have a great day. Next week, we have senior recognition. Randy and the seniors will be leading us. But go and have an outstanding day. And Mac wants people to sign up to come to the baseball game. And if you're checking out Oak Hill Church, sign up for the Discover Oak Hill class. God bless you. Have a great day.